From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. In this week's episode, we're going to be focusing on some pretty cool science and technology cooperation between the United States and South Korea, and also looking at how some of the science cooperation could change and evolve with a new president in both the White and Blue Houses. This discussion is particularly timely as President Donald Trump and President Moon Jae-in are meeting for the first time this week at the US-ROK Summit in Washington, D.C. This week's guest is Sean Connell, who is the Director of Business Recruitment for the Economic Development Alliance of Skagit County in Washington State. Sean recently wrote a paper for KEI about some of the areas of cooperation in science and technology that the U.S. and Korea have worked on in the past, as well as some of the business ties and economic prospects that can emerge from greater cooperation in these fields. He was here in Washington, D.C. to present some of his findings, and I was able to sit down with him for the podcast to talk a little bit about his paper and about science and technology cooperation. All right, thank you so much for coming and presenting your paper here at KEI, and then also for talking with me for the podcast.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back at KEI.
So you start off your paper by introducing the summit meeting between former presidents Barack Obama and Park Geun-hye that establish this, quote, new frontiers of cooperation. So what exactly were some of these new frontiers, and what did the cooperation look like at its outset?
After the October 2015 summit, where the new frontiers of cooperation were put forward in the joint statement and joint fact sheet, there were about five or six areas, depending on how you look at each category. But fundamentally, these included increasing cooperation in science and technology, expanding collaboration in both cybersecurity and space, collaboration around climate change, with a particular focus on new and renewable energy technologies, as well as environmental sustainability initiatives, and then combating biological threats and addressing global health issues. So there are these areas that in many ways are not new to the bilateral agenda. And in fact, if you look back to previous joint statements by President Obama and President Park during the earlier summit meetings, you'll see many of these issues brought up in varying ways. What made things a little bit different in this case is that they're elevated as a set for, you know, increased activity and increased attention within the bilateral relationship.
So were there any particular breakthroughs or positive developments that you would like to highlight among some of these areas of cooperation? And also, on the flip side, are there any places where they could have done things a little bit differently?
So it's only been about a year and a half since this New Frontiers term was rolled out as a theme for these particular issues. It's a very short time frame, and of course we've had a change in governments here in the United States and also Korea. One significant accomplishment that was actually referred to within the joint fact sheet related to the New Frontiers was the conclusion of an agreed framework related to cooperation on space, and that was concluded in April of 2016, entered into effect last November. And this is fairly significant, the first of its kind between the United States and Korea specific to space collaboration, which is a growing area that they'll be talking about a little bit further later on. But even before the New Frontiers theme was introduced, there has been a lot of activity, as I mentioned, in these areas. There's been some very interesting engagement, particularly around smart grid within energy issues. Going back to 2011, the U.S. Department of Energy and what's now the Ministry of Trade, Industry, and Energy had signed an agreement creating a U.S.-Korea clean energy technology partnership. And so there was quite a bit of activity, including between national laboratories, as well as specific universities across the country with Korean counterparts in some of these areas. So these are some cases where there was some fairly good momentum. Another thing that was pointed to within the summit was collaboration to achieve an ambitious outcome at the Paris COP21 meeting later that year. And of course, there was a successful agreement that was established through Paris. So that, I would say can be pointed to as one area where, not just in a bilateral fashion, but within broader international contexts, the two governments have moved forward with some of these ambitions as addressed there.
So as you mentioned, things have changed quite a bit since this was first rolled out. We have two new administrations in Washington and in Seoul. So is there any indication so far that either or both of these new presidents are interested in continuing some of this collaboration? Are there any new frontiers that, you know, President Trump and President Moon have specifically shown interest in?
So we're very early in both administrations, but looking at some of the priorities that they've set forward in the domestic context, these new frontiers issues are going to be coming up in many ways, certainly related to security, given the events of the major worldwide ransomware case, in addition to other things that have taken place, certainly in South Korea, certainly in the United States and elsewhere on the cyber front. These issues are going to be coming more to the fore. Similarly, in the security realm as well, space-related issues as, you know, space technologies, imagery, and other things become increasingly important within the security framework. It's been that way for quite some time in the U.S., of course, but in Korea, that is also building some momentum. So just given the security alliance priorities, the importance of continued engagement to threats both near and afar, these are undoubtedly going to continue to be of importance, you know, whether the New Frontiers theme is continued or maybe a new theme comes forward as well. In some contrast, for example, with energy policy and climate change, we're seeing some early divergence between the two administrations potentially. In the United States, the Trump administration has put priority on development of domestic oil, coal, and gas resources, presumably nuclear as well. In Korea, President Moon has said that he will want to reduce Korea's dependence on coal and nuclear energy as part of the energy portfolio and instead increase renewable energy up to 20% by 2030, which is an incredibly ambitious target given the current low baseline. So while these may, on the one hand, seem to be somewhat different directions, you know, in both ways, they are areas where there is a track record of collaboration and joint projects between the United States and Korea. Thinking about coal, for example, Korea was a partner of the FutureGen project during the Bush administration, and Korea also just put its first commercial gasification plant online last year, joining a few similar facilities of this nature in the United States. So maybe in areas like carbon capture and storage, clean coal, some areas that haven't maybe gotten as much attention in the U.S. in recent years, this could be one area where there is opportunities to engage with Korea as the Moon administration proceeds with this transition. And then looking at Korea and renewable and energy efficiency technologies, there's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done. There's great domestic technology. There's also extensive technology and resources in the United States. So this would seem just naturally to be a very important and productive area for continued engagement.
So one thing I thought was really interesting in your paper, you mentioned the direct impacts of these types of projects. Obviously, a greater focus on cybersecurity, for example, would have a direct impact on security and making sure that things like the ransomware attack are protected against. But you also mentioned that there are some more also indirect and economic business effects as well. Can you elaborate more on that aspect?
Certainly, and that's one of the most interesting things about the New Frontiers areas. Fundamentally, the several of the sectors that were identified specifically are target growth industries in both countries. In the United States, in addition to space being something that where commercial activity is growing quite rapidly, areas like global health and biotechnology, where there have been some very significant gains over the last few decades. In Korea, similarly, these have been major focus areas as well. Space, maybe more recently, areas such as the Internet of Things are getting a lot of attention these days. And very interestingly, you know, many of these get into convergence technologies, where different technologies across different sectors are blending to create new industries, new opportunities. This was a major theme of President Park's creative economy agenda, looking at, you know, where there are opportunities to incorporate information technology with traditional manufacturing, but also even in areas such as arts and culture. So stepping back a little bit further, what's also interesting about these topics is the science and technology linkages. And as someone who works in the, particularly the state and regional economic development sector of the United States, a major focus on those activities gets into building the right framework conditions for sustained and future economic growth, ensuring that businesses have the chance to merge, have the chance to expand, that there's the right kind of conditions, be it local economy, skilled workforce, incentives, tax structure, those sorts of things that will attract businesses, both domestic and foreign, to the area. And then capacity building as relates to infrastructure, again, other elements that all the pieces fit together that sustain growth, ensure that communities feel the benefits of these and create this good cycle. I bring this up because there's a lot of parallels when you get into innovation. And many innovation policies, certainly those pursued by Korea and the U.S., which draw from science and technology, are ultimately focused on economic growth, economic development. And similarly, when you look at best practices within innovation policy or national level, it really gets into those framework conditions. What sets the ecosystem? What creates the environment in which new ideas, new processes, new technologies, new ways of doing business can emerge? So there are many parallels between the two. That what was very interesting to me in reading the joint statement materials from the summit was that acknowledgement of the linkages between science, technology, innovation, economic development in both countries. That's very encouraging to see and provides a really interesting framework, I think, from which both countries can pursue these issues thoughtfully, because it's not just about advancing the specific technologies, getting partnerships. That's all very important, but also getting the framework conditions right in both countries that will be conducive for new breakthroughs, technological new business ideas that cross both countries, especially as our two economies continue to integrate with more Korean foreign direct investment coming to the U.S. in some of these sectors and vice versa.
As we've discussed, we have two new administrations in D.C. and in Seoul. So I'm curious if you have any recommendations for the two governments at this point in time, especially given that they're pretty early on in both administrations. How can they work together to continue some of these new frontiers issues, continue some of the good things that you've mentioned that have come out even in just the last year and a half? I'm also curious if you have any recommendations for the non-governmental, the businesses, the maybe local governments that you're talking about. They obviously have a stake here too. So how would you recommend that we proceed at this point?
So first and foremost is keeping these issues on the agenda. They can be continued on the agenda as the new frontiers of cooperation. Maybe there's a different term or concept or framework that the two governments would like to put forward as they advance the bilateral relationship, reflecting the priorities of their administrations. But what makes these compelling, amongst many other reasons, is that they're real shared goals. They address shared challenges. They have domestic and global impact. It's for all of the positive opportunities, there is a risk mitigation factor and a security element. Cybersecurity is a good example of this. Korea's MERS outbreak several years back, which was something that was referenced within the New Frontiers discussions as well in terms of the importance of combating biological threats and working on global health, is another example of this. So they also are fairly non-controversial, I would say, within the bilateral relationship. These are not issues around which there have been significant economic disputes, significant differences when it comes to security positions. And so to have some positive areas like these to work on, where there's maybe not some history, where there's not some more sensitive issues going to be worked through, make them a very good area in that sense for engagement at the national level. Some recommendations related to this also would include, first, implementing existing agreements, including economic agreements, specifically the U.S.-Korea Free Trade Agreement, ensuring full and faithful implementation of that. And one very important reason, as ties in with the New Frontiers sectors, is that there are many elements within the CORUS FTA that are very important towards creating those conducive conditions for the growth and expansion of these very technology-dependent industry sectors, intellectual property protections, standards, regulatory transparency, and then also things such as a level playing field where there's a lot of innovation and technologies that come through trade, through inbound investment, and just ensuring that there will be opportunities for those sorts of flows to come and the competitive pressures that spur businesses to try out new projects, take the risks that these innovations result from. Korea's for many years done quite well in implementing a very strong intellectual property regime. That's a very positive story in relation to this. There are other issues that have come up from time to time, certainly within the FTA, but really under these issues, there have been some questions as relates to some cybersecurity requirements Korea has that the U.S. Trade Representative's Office has raised in its discussions in the National Trade Estimate. And so as issues arise that relate to the New Frontiers issues, be it within provisions that are within the Chorus FTA or maybe provisions that haven't really been discussed yet because technology moves so fast. The regulatory and legal framework sometimes takes a while to catch up. So just ensuring that when things come up, that there's very quick action to address and resolve these in a timely manner through consultation with the private sector to ensure that both sides are able to capture the benefits of this and sustain activity on that. So that's one important thing. Also related to trade, as the U.S. and Korea are both continuing to pursue different trade arrangements, both bilateral, regional, particularly in the case of Korea, Korea is part of the RCEP agreement, where we have clear shared priorities on trade provisions, what we want to see in the global economy that's important to these new frontiers areas and other in general, that would be a good area for consultation to ensure and to try to advance shared goals in these varying frameworks, even if they're not completely bilateral in that sense, with the degree to which supply chains are so globally integrated now. There's going to be opportunities for firms on either side, depending on the agreements that are made. So just advancing these shared goals in trade arrangements, in standards, intellectual property is another really key area. A couple of other thoughts, and this is where we extend beyond the national level and also get into the state, local, and sub-national levels. Workforce is a major issue for many of these new frontier sectors. A few years ago, President Lee in Korea made a comment that maybe we have a mismatch of skills in higher education. Maybe college is not the solution for everyone. And saying this in Korea, which has, I think, the largest percentage of its population getting four-year degrees within the OECD. But this is a very similar conversation taking place all across the United States in communities. Many businesses that I work with in the region where I'm working raise the issue that they cannot find the skilled workforce they need to handle their needs. And this is both manufacturing and information technology. And it's interesting because Korea has some of these same challenges. And so workforce training and development, specifically related to some of these new frontier technologies and fields, cybersecurity being one, biotech, when you're talking about space, it gets into classical engineering and other things. And then advanced manufacturing, working with the advanced materials that are being developed that factor into these sectors. This could be a really interesting area for engagement and collaboration. It may already be occurring, for example, where Korean companies have major facilities in the U.S. They may already be engaging with the local community colleges, universities, vocational networks, working to develop these sorts of curriculums. But this, particularly in areas where our technological capabilities in the United States and Korea are at parity, and where these are shared challenges, that could be another really interesting area, including one that can take place at the state and local level within the U.S. And that's another compelling area because there already has been a lot of activities. For example, smart grid projects. Korean partners have initiated projects in Hawaii and Illinois. Most recently, last fall, an agreement was signed through the state of Maryland for a demonstration project at Montgomery College. Healthcare and health technology is another area. I remember years ago learning that a number of researchers and officials from Chungcheong Namdo province were based in Montgomery County in some of the biotechnology incubators there, in part because of the proximity to the National Institutes of Health. And I remember another case where there was a Kentucky region that was looking at some Korean health information technology solutions for some of their regional healthcare needs. And I'm not sure what the status of that is, but it shows some of the examples and the ways that local governments and regions are thinking. To provide another example of that in Washington state, the Korean Consul General's office there has been very eager to advance engagement related to composites, carbon fiber, in part given the desire to build more engagement between Korea and the United States and Washington in particular around the aerospace supply chain. And so they've had some expert exchanges, some very interesting discussions that have taken place in the Seattle area that some of these are very early stage, but could be building a really interesting foundation for future activities. And then finally, private sector universities. There's a lot going on. The technological developments, come from the national laboratories, come from the universities, absolutely come from business. Businesses have been raising these issues on the agenda. Last year, the U.S.-Korea Business Council, for example, issued a recommendation paper related to Internet of Things, which is a very important area for both economies, very exciting sector, but also on where ensuring the environment's right in terms of regulations and legal rules and other things is very important. At the university level, too, there's been some work in areas such as smart grids, microgrids, fuel cells, and looking at what other countries in Asia and elsewhere starting to do with local partners in the United States. There could be some very interesting models that Korea, if it's not already looking at these, might want to consider. And for the U.S., vice versa, as different regions within Korea develop specific capabilities and strengths where there may be some interesting partnerships. And then finally on this topic, there may be some areas where, depending on where the national governments are in positions, engagement at the subnational level may open some opportunities. And climate change is one example of this, looking at the Pacific Coast states, California, Oregon, and Washington, for example, which have taken a very strong position to work on these issues. And if it may not be good timing in the near term for engagement on this at the national level, perhaps there could be some things that Korea might want to explore with these and other U.S. states for their activities. And this is not without precedent. A couple of years ago, for example, several states and cities signed memorandums of understanding with China when President Xi Jinping visited for engagement information sharing, including with counterparts at the regional level in China, around climate change in some of these areas. So there are a number of models out there that are starting to emerge that could be very interesting in this context, and maybe Korea and the United States working in these areas can pioneer some models that can be deployed elsewhere.
So that's really great. I love hearing about all these really cool technologies or opportunities, places where we can move forward, especially together with Korea. It should be really interesting, especially this like Internet of Things, that kind of stuff is really emerging as some really cool opportunities I think we should definitely take advantage of. Before we go, is there anything that you haven't mentioned yet that you think it's important for us to know about these new frontiers and moving forward with them?
Like I said, they're a really important area, and while they don't get a lot of attention, they're not necessarily the issues that are going to be the front page headlines, but they offer some really exciting opportunities, and one way we can look at them is as catalysts for where is our economic relationship going to go. I focus on economics just given my background, but it also factors into security as well. And as we see the increasing role of the cyber world, as we see the increasing role of spaces, and especially with the growth of the new space industry, where the costs to entry are dropping quite exponentially, enabling businesses and others to get into this field that used to be prohibitively expensive and difficult to get into. You know, we don't exactly know what's going to be the outcomes here, but just given some of these factors, converging strands, converging technologies, I think it's important to not lose sight of these, even within the bigger picture conversations that we're having about the security alliance, about the overall U.S.-Korea economic relationship, because it's where we're going. And it's where there's some exciting things happening in cities and states across the United States, in Korea as well. And these could well be the next major joint growth engines between our two countries down the road. So that's the thought I would leave everyone with, which is just to keep in mind that beyond all the other positive things and the challenges that emerge from the relationship, there's some very interesting things that don't quite get a lot of attention in the broader sector of science and technology that could be very compelling in strengthening and advancing bilateral goals moving forward.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again for not only coming here to DC and talking here at our office, but also taking some time beforehand to talk with me for the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone, for once again joining us here on Korean Context. We have some pretty great episodes coming up for you. I was in Seoul last week and recorded several podcast episodes with some pretty cool people over there that will be coming out in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned for those. In the meantime, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you here next week.